Amen. Thank you, ladies. I appreciate that. And a beautiful psalm. Let's take the Word of God tonight, and we will go to the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter number 26. Matthew 26. And tonight, I sense the leading of the Lord to go to Matthew chapter 26 because of the Lord's table this evening. I want to bring this message to you on, titled, Jesus Touched His Ear. Now tonight, as we come to the Lord's table, there are two ordinances that God gave to the local New Testament church. The first ordinance, things He ordered the local church to do, is baptism. When a person gets saved, they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The first step of obedience for the child of God is the step of baptism. And we believe the Bible teaches baptism by immersion because it is a symbol of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Christ was buried in a tomb. He was buried, but He came forth alive forevermore. So we preach and teach that because it is God's Word. But the second ordinance that God or Jesus gave to the local New Testament church is the ordinance of the Lord's table. Some might call it communion. Some might call it the Lord's Supper. I like to refer to it as the Lord's table. And when we come to Matthew chapter 26, do you know what we find? We find the Lord's table. We find Jesus and His disciples in the upper room, and they're having what we would call the Last Supper. After this, they are leaving, and Jesus is going to be taken captive. He's going to bleed and die on the cross for the sins of all mankind. So tonight, we are going to do this in remembrance of what Christ has done for us. But I'd like to take the journey just a little bit further. So we understand Jesus is with His disciples. He's in the upper room. He breaks bread with them as we will break bread tonight. He has the grape juice as we will have it tonight. A symbol of His blood, His sinless, spotless blood. And a symbol of His body that was sinless. And Jesus gave of Himself. As soon as they left the upper room, the Bible says, and I've read this verse many times, Matthew 26, look in verse number 30. The Bible says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. So here they've come. They've come from the upper room. They've just had the Last Supper together. They are leaving singing. It's a beautiful sight, is it not? They're singing together. They are heading to Gethsemane. Now let's pick it up, if you would please, in verse number 36 of Matthew chapter 26. Verse number 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith He unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with Me. And He went a little further and fell on His face and prayed, saying, O My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. And He cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with Me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O My Father, if this cup may not pass away from Me, except I drink it, Thy will be done. And He came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And He left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh He to His disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, He is at hand that doth betray Me. And while He yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed Him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. Now I want you to take note in what Jesus did in verse 50. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword. Now I'll just tell you, it was Peter. He's kind of my type of guy, you know. And he's the kind of guy you want on your side. But the Bible says, verse 51, And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me. But all this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Now I want you to take your Bibles and go to the Gospel according to John. John chapter 18. Because I want you to see John's account. And remember, the Gospels, it's like a cube. And so often the great stories that we find in the New Testament, in the Gospels specifically, Matthew has his side of it. Mark has his side. And they're all true accounts. It's Bible. It is inerrant. But it is from different men inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. When we come to John's account, I don't have time to take you to Luke's account, but I want to take you to John's account because we see more. We see a little bit more of what has happened that night. John chapter number 18. Let's begin in verse number 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kedron, where was a garden into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? He knew where Jesus would be. For Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Think of the power of the words of Jesus. The Bible goes on to say in verse 7, Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, Of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, there we find out who the swordsman is, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Now tonight, I wanted to bring you to this passage because I think there is something here for us to see tonight. Now remember, the disciples have left the upper room. They've had the Last Supper, which tonight, in a sense, we will commemorate that. And we will have a Lord's table together. But as they are leaving, here they're going, they're singing, think of it. And they're heading to the garden. There in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus will pray. And the agony of his prayer, Why was there an agony? Why was there turmoil going on in the heart of Jesus Christ? Because soon he would go and he would bear the sin debt of the world. And soon Jesus would take your separation and my separation. God the Father would literally turn his back on his Son. That's why Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And Jesus knew. He said, let this cup pass from me. May I tell you that Jesus was not flinching from what God the Father had given him to do, but he said, let it pass quickly from me, because of the thought of being separated from his Father. Oh, think of it. And Jesus is there. Now think of the disciples. Sometimes we get pretty hard on the disciples. Here they fell asleep. But brethren, so often in our Christian lives, we are asleep sometimes when God wants us to be watching and praying. And here they are. Jesus comes back to them and seeks to wake them up. And there comes Judas, the betrayer. The one that was trusted. I mean, think of Judas. We kind of have a picture in our mind of Judas with old mean-looking guy. But I don't think Judas looked like that. In fact, you know that Judas had the bag of money. He was so trusted that they said, here, Judas, you take care of the money because we trust you. And they had confidence in him. And Jesus, the Bible says, he stood there. I love the phrase back in Matthew where the Bible says that Jesus said to him, friend. I love that. It's so precious to me because Jesus saying, friend, wherefore art thou come? Jesus was just saying, I'm your friend. Judas was not the friend of Jesus, and he did not count Jesus as his friend, but Jesus said, friend. And here he comes, and he kissed Jesus Christ. Now, many commentators believe that he would kiss either the feet of the Lord Jesus on that day as he bowed down to give him reverence. He would kiss him. May I say to you that there was no kiss quite like that kiss, because it was a kiss of betrayal. It was a kiss of deceit. Can I also say to you that in history, in Bible, that there were only two who kissed the Lord Jesus Christ. One kissed his feet in surrender and in love and in submission. And the other kissed him in betrayal. The truth of the matter is, all of us will either yield to Jesus Christ in submission, or we will just have a kiss that others think that we are honoring Christ, but it's really a kiss of betrayal. You know something, in my years growing up, I have met people out soul winning before and talking to people. They name the name of Jesus Christ, but they do not follow Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, that's just a kiss of betrayal. Judas was deceitful. Judas was not true. And he kissed the Lord Jesus in betrayal. The Lord Jesus spoke to the multitude and he said, whom seek ye? And they answered, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am he. Now, the phrase that Jesus used on that day is the same words that God gave Moses in the book of Exodus. In the book of Exodus, chapter 3 and verse 14, God told Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Jesus used those very words. Now think of it. The very power of Jesus' words when he said, I am he, they fell backward. Not that they were scared, but the power of his words. Can you think of men falling backwards with the very words, the supernatural power of Jesus' words? Think of the power in his words. They fell backwards, but they got right back up to come to take the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, may I tell you, there, number one, is the power that we find that Jesus did not use. Now, let me stop and say this to you. Jesus Christ had all power. All power was given unto him in heaven and earth. But there was a power that he chose not to use on that night. A power. In fact, he had the power to speak and cause the soldiers to fall to the ground. He had the power to reach down and pick up a man's ear off the ground and put it back on his face and to be healed quickly. And Jesus had the power that night to call forth legions of angels to destroy everyone and to deliver him, but he would not use that power. Can I tell you why? Why did Jesus not use the power that he could have used that night? He did it because out of love for you and me. His love for us. You see, our Lord performed great miracles. In fact, some would say that this was the last miracle that Christ performed. We understand that dying on the cross was a great miracle, and rising from the grave was a great miracle. But while he was still walking among people, this was the last miracle, to pick up a man's ear and put it upon his face. Oh, he has all power. And tonight we have a God who can do all things tonight. In fact, God himself asked the question to Abraham and Sarah in Genesis 18:14 when he said, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Tonight, we know the answer to that question. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. Our Savior tonight can do all things, but the power that Jesus had that night, I mean, he could have stopped everything. In fact, the Bible says that he knew that they were coming. He said, "The hour has come." Jesus knew they were coming for him. In fact, they came out against him like, and Jesus even said, "What do you think I am, a thief? And you come with swords and staves and torches and lanterns to catch me because I'm going to hide?" And Jesus said, "I've been with you in the temple. Why did you not take me then?" You know why they didn't take him then? Because they could not take him. Because he had the power to withstand all of that. His hour had not come. Oh, listen, he had all power, but he chose not to use that power that night. Christ was on his way to the cross. He came to bleed and die for the sins of all mankind. He was taken prisoner. He yielded himself. No man took Jesus Christ. He willingly gave of himself. He was not overpowered by these men, though there was a great multitude. But he willingly gave his life. He willingly did not use the power that he could have used that night, because he loves you and me. You know what that does for me? Well, that encourages and strengthens my heart. But it also means this: if Jesus Christ could withstand his own power because of his love for you and me, then, brethren, may I ask you something tonight? What would he not do for you and me now? As we are his children, he will hear our prayer. He will guide us and lead us. He has all power. The power, number one, that he did not use. Number two, the power that he did not need. Now, what am I speaking of? Well, old Peter, now let's not be too hard on him. Only one man drew a sword. And here is Peter. Can you imagine it? Jesus tried to tell the disciples that he was going to go to the cross and bleed and die, but they could not understand all the ramifications of that. But there on that day, Judas there with the band of men that are there to take Jesus like a common thief. And in that moment, the Bible says that Peter drew a sword and he was going for the head. I'm going to tell you that. I mean, if you're going to do it, let's go all the way, you know. And that's what Peter was going. He was going for Malchus' head. And now, when I was a kid, I used to think, well, how in the world did Peter cut off his ear, you know? Peter must have been a pretty bad, you know, aim on that. But no, I believe that no doubt as Malchus is standing there, here comes Peter with the sword. And Malchus no doubt turns to miss, and Peter cuts off his ear. Can you imagine the scene? And in that moment, can I tell you something? Jesus didn't need the power that Peter had that day. Jesus reached down. Can you imagine? Now look, I don't know if you've ever been hurt with your ear. It's a very tender part of your body, is it not? It's very sensitive. Can you imagine the pain, the agony there in Malchus? Malchus is there. I mean, his ear is lying on the ground. And Jesus simply reaches down, picks up the ear, and puts it on his face. And immediately, he is healed. You think Malchus ever forgot that? I don't think so. From that day forward, can you imagine Malchus thinking and touching his ear and realizing that Jesus, the one that they had crucified, had healed him? He truly was the Son of God. But the power that Peter displayed that day was not needed by Jesus Christ. And let me stop and say this. It is truly amazing that God uses any of us for His service. It really is. And may I say to you, it is a great privilege that God chooses to use human instrumentality. I mean, do you know that God could get His work done any way He wanted to get it done, but in love, He chooses to use you and me to get the work done. He chooses men and women. But may I say to you tonight, when we think that God cannot get along without us, then He allows to see that there is a power that we have that He does not need. It's a dangerous thing in life to think that, well, boy, if I don't do this, it's just all going to fall to pieces. Boy, if I'm not here, boy, it's just going to really come to nothing. You know something? That's a power that Jesus Christ does not need. Because He can get His work done anyway. Brethren, God in love, in His mercy and compassion, chooses to use you and me. We should praise Him tonight and thank Him. God, thank You that I get to be a tool, an instrument in Your hand. But when we think that God cannot get the work done, if we are not there, and if we are not doing this and that, that it's all going to fall to pieces, that is a power that Jesus does not need. You know something, if you think tonight, well, I'll tell you something. Boy, it's a good thing God's got me here. Boy, and everything just falls apart. Let me say this to you. It may be that God might take His hand a blessing off of you. It might be, as the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, that God takes you and puts you on the shelf, per se, to show you that He does not need your power. You know what Jesus said to Peter that day? Peter, what are you doing? Peter, my hour has come. I must take the cup. I must do the will of the Father. Peter, I don't need your power. I do not need what you are trying to do. Trust me. Look to me. So often in life, we think that God just has to have us. In fact, Peter pulling his sword was similar to Saul putting the armor on David. You remember the day that David was going to go out and face the giant? And Saul said, hey, you got to have something. You got to put some armor on. And he put his armor on him, but David, it didn't fit him. David said, he took it off and said, I can't use the armor. That's the same ideal of Peter drawing the sword and saying, I'm going to do something about this. I'm the one. And Jesus said, those that use the sword perish with the sword. He said, Peter, put the sword up. I must drink of the Father's cup. Brethren, tonight, we should thank God that God chooses to use us. I want you to remember something tonight. Without me, God would still be God. But without God, I am absolutely nothing. Tonight, that helps me. Because without me, God is still God. He is still on the throne, but without God, I am absolutely nothing tonight. You see, the power that Peter possessed, Jesus didn't need that. He had all power. He had all ability. If you ever get the idea that you are so big and so powerful and so capable and so mighty in the Lord's work, and that the Lord's work would suffer greatly unless you were there participating and giving forth your gifts, then I think the Lord would like to say to you and to me tonight, put up your sword. Compared to 12 legions of angels, do you not think that the sword amounts to anything? I don't need your sword. I want to say this to you tonight, and I hope you take this right. God really doesn't need me. He really doesn't. Now, I need God. But can I tell you this? If I were to say tonight, that's it, I'm done. I'm folding my Bible, I'm going home. And that's it, I'm done. I'm tired of serving the Lord. You know what? I would be the one that would miss out on the blessing of the Lord. God would still get His work done. And yes, God is looking for laborers for the harvest field. But listen, the work of God is not dependent on you and me. And God's blessing is not dependent on whether or not we serve the Lord or not. He doesn't need our sword. And I think the Lord has to say to me sometimes, Aaron, put your sword up. Aaron, I don't need that power. I can do all things. You know something, anytime we get ahead of God and try to do His work in the energy of the flesh, we are using a power that God does not need. The Lord wants to work through us. That's the beauty. And can I tell you something? That is the miracle of the ministry, is it not? That God chooses to use sinful, faulty people like me and you. He chooses to use us. But I'm going to tell you what God wants tonight. He wants dead men and women. You say, what do you mean by dead? Dead to themselves. Dead to their own rights. Dead to what they want. He wants men who are willing to die to self and allow the Lord to work through their lives. May God help us tonight to humble ourselves before God and to say, oh God, thank you that I can serve you. And Lord, I just want to be a tool in your hand. I want to be an instrument in your hand. I want you to fill me and to use me. But God, I have a power that you do not need. But may I say to you tonight, God has a power that we all need tonight. And He is the one who enables us and strengthens us. May God deliver us from thinking that God could not do without you and me. Oh, Peter, we kind of criticize him, but may I tell you, I've drawn the sword many times. I have. I've drawn the sword many times, and I think the Lord says, Aaron, put the sword up. Put it back in the sheath. I don't need that power. You know something? When we try to push our way through life and try to get our way, I'm going to tell you something. That's a power that God does not need. When we try to manipulate and scheme and devise things, that's a power that God does not need. Oh, listen, we ought to praise Him tonight that He uses any of us. We ought to thank Him tonight. And we ought to, you know something? I pray that you never get over the fact that God wants to use you. We ought to never get over that. What to say, God, what an honor it is to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, you could choose anyone, but thank you that you let me serve you. A power that he did not use, a power that he did not need. But number three, the power he did not deny. Take your Bibles, go to John chapter number 10. You should be there in John chapter 11. But go to John chapter 10 and let's begin in verse number 17. This is the power that Jesus would not deny. When our Lord went forth to meet the multitude that night, He knew who He was and He knew why He came. I had a man say years ago, I was listening in a service and I was there visiting in a church. And the man got up and said that Jesus Christ, when he was a boy, did not know who he was. And I thought it was blasphemous. Listen, Jesus knew who He was at every moment of every day. He knew why He came. Jesus even told Mary, His mother, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" Jesus knew why He came. He knew why He was here that night. He was there to take our sin debt. He was there to bleed and die for you and me. But there was a power that He would not deny. Brethren, may I tell you something? Jesus was not like a trapped criminal against a wall, trying to find a way out. It was determined by God before the world was ever created that Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. It was determined that Jesus would die on the cross and be buried in a borrowed tomb and rise again the third day. He did not deny that power. Let's read it. John 10, verse 17. The Bible says, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Can I tell you something? Our Lord, calm, confident, peaceful, restful, stood there before those men and said, "The hour has come." He was not fearful. He was not worried. I picture in my mind Jesus standing there. By the way, he was a man's man, by the way. He was a man who knew how to work. He was a man that knew how to love and care. And he stood there in confidence in his Father's will and dependence upon his Father and said, "The hour has come." He stood there in great power as he spoke and said, "I am he." And the men fell backward and they got right back up to bind Jesus Christ. And there as Peter drew the sword and cut off Malchus' right ear, and Jesus had the power to put it back on. And Jesus said, "Peter, don't you know I could call forth legions of angels to come and destroy the entire world?" But Jesus would not use that power, and he did not need the power of Jesus. But there was a power that he would not deny, and that was that he laid down his life of his own power, and he rose from the grave of his own power. Can I tell you something? That is my Savior tonight. A Savior that loved me and you enough to not use the power. Think of it tonight. Think that Jesus said, "No, I will die because of his love for you and me." Tonight I'm going to tell you that. How can we take this message? I pray that God can use it tonight to see that he really doesn't need our power. And some of us have our swords drawn. You know what we need to do? Put it back in the sheath. And be willing and serving Jesus Christ tonight. He does not need our power. But oh, praise God that he's willing to use any of us tonight. And look, if you want to serve Jesus Christ, then I'm going to tell you something. You can be a follower and a server of Jesus Christ. You can follow him and he wants to use you. But tonight, let's yield ourselves to him. Jesus, with this miracle that he performed, tonight, let's allow him to do his work in our heart. Let's bow our heads in prayer.